Well, for the first time ever, the International Olympic Committee has announced a double hosting plan to stage the Olympic Games. Paris and Los Angeles have been awarded the 2024 and the 2028 Games, without the confirmation of who will host first. Both want 2024. The IOC boss described the decision as historic. But could we also describe it as desperation, as the difficulties of hosting this tournament become increasingly clear? To discuss this, I'm joined by John Williams. Now, John is the Associate Professor in Sports Sociology at the University of Leicester in the UK. Good morning to you, John.
Yeah, hi. How are you doing?
Good. What do you think? Genius or desperation?
Well, a combination of the two, I think. Certainly there is some desperation because, as you say, it's increasingly costly. It's less attractive for countries to host the Olympic Games now. They've just grown so huge. They're incredibly expensive to put on. The demands made by the IOC on host countries are enormous. And the spread of income has always favored the IOC. And so I think, you know, if we're going to continue with the Games, we might look at scaling it back. I think we certainly need to look at the relationship between the IOC and the hosts and maybe look at more of the commercial income going to the hosts. Clearly, the IOC needs to make the Games more attractive to hosts in the future. The Olympics itself is not losing its general attraction. Its TV audiences are very strong. But getting cities to bid now clearly is becoming very difficult.
Whenever we discuss this, we talk about the IOC being too greedy and taking too much of the cash out of the pot. Has that ever been debated by the IOC itself in this process, or is this just something that rumbles on talkback radio?
Well, they may not have had to have that discussion. You know, they may have been comfortable with the idea that they would always get a number of cities bidding, they could have a choice. Well, this is a bit of a wake-up call, I think, for the IOC. There are only single bidders for these two games in 24 and 28. They're having to accept them both. They're having to have a runoff, you know, to decide which of these countries takes which of the games. We're in a new situation. At least what it does is buy some time for the IOC. At least now they can have a discussion about it and know that they've got venues established right up until the end of the 20s. It gives them time to have a bit of a review, to look at the relationship they have with host cities, and to think about ways of making the games more attractive to potential hosts.
Certainly announcing two cities ensures stability for at least 11 years. Is there actually a voice inside the IOC that is looking for radical change?
Well, I think change is going on all the time. You know, one of the things that the IOC has been thinking about and working on for quite some time is to how to make the games more attractive to young people. That's partly behind the expansion. That's partly behind the addition of new sports. And sometimes, you know, activities and games that many old people like me think that they're not really sports. But what they're designed to do, of course, is to appeal to a younger market, a younger audience. So they're constantly thinking about ways of making the games more relevant, particularly to young people. But the trouble is, if you expand and expand and expand, and if you make demands on cities in terms of what they have to do to be able to host, and what we've seen more recently is local people beginning to say, can we really afford to host this? You know, we've got housing problems and problems of poverty, and are we really going to be engaged in this? And is there really going to be a legacy that affects me? I think all of those questions now, local people are beginning to ask, and they don't really like the answers that are coming forward. There's lots of debate now in the UK about what the real legacy of the London Games was in 2012. Did it really reach ordinary people? And frankly, there's not a lot of evidence that it did.
John Williams from the University of Leicester, Associate Professor in Sports Sociology. So what would you do with the Olympic Games, by the way? I know many people have suggested that it should go to Greece and always be hosted in Greece and would have one facility that was always awesome. And look at all the costs that have come from all the different hostings. 1976, Montreal, it broke that city, it broke that state. I think the debt only just got paid off in the past few years. Look at the venues at Rio de Janeiro, they're already falling apart. Look at the venues in Athens. You'll see it all over the internet. So do we actually just put it into one place? What would you do?